Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here all we right. go then.
In which case, I'm going to leave it to you today then. You crack on.
No, no, you can't leave all of it to me. We'll just do half and half.
Well, no, because we'll talk over each other. So I'm going to leave it to you.
All right. It's going to be a huge episode. So much screeching. There's going to be screeching all over the gaff.
Listen, this is all you today.
Okay, right. Here we go, everyone. Wish me luck. Here we go. Do you want to count me in?
I don't think... No, we just do it as we have done for the past 70 episodes, okay. Where you don't need to be counted in. Oh, we're getting counted in. Wonderful.
Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast hosted by two bestest of best pals, blood brothers and all of that, Peter James, Jonathan Joseph Wicks and Sam Thompson. Now, this is going to be an unbelievable episode because Pete has... He's asked me to tell some of the stories.
So what's going to happen on this one? Firstly, I will be swearing and I'm still not drinking on a Friday now.
Still feels a bit grim.
But if you don't like that, go f*** yourself. Make sure you rate, review, do all that crap. Follow us on Instagram at Staying Relevant Podcast, on TikTok and Snappy C, and YouTube. Subscribe, do all that shite. This is Monday's episode, which means you can watch it on Friday, and then Thursday we'll do the bonus episode, which you can watch on Sunday, which makes it Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Sam is going to lead today.
Sam's not going to lead today.
Sam is leading today's episode, where he's going to tell you about the tour. I may have to butt in if he gets it wrong, which I imagine is highly likely because this involves storytelling, and Sam is about as good at storytelling as a flannel.
I'm already nervous. I'm already terrified.
But he is wearing a broad range of colours today, which I mean, I'm surprised by. I don't know what to do with the broad range of candy floss pink and pale blue.
Do they not work?
With a khaki croc. They don't.
With a khaki croc. But do they not?
Yeah.
But I feel like two pastels together.
I feel like that, but that's not pastel and that's khaki. So you've just got the one pastel with two other fucking awful colours.
I think you look great.
You're right, I do.
And you look great. And you're still wearing your lanyard as well.
The lanyard is coming with me anytime I do anything Staying Relevant related because I am AAA accredited.
There was actually a moment in one of the live shows where Zara tries to come into the venue and she basically couldn't get in because there was quite a big crowd outside. And they were like, well, just give him your lanyard, Pete. And he went, no. He was like, no, just give her... Also, don't give her a triple A clearance.
No.
Give her a double A clearance. It's like, yeah, we don't have different A's.
She can have double A, but she's not having the triple A. No.
I just told a story there.
Yeah, and it got...
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. It was my first story.
Absolutely no response.
Yeah. But we have... been on tour. I don't know whether you know. I don't know whether
we don't like about it about enough. It.
We posted a lot about it. And, this was very cool, actually. Recently, I just put up a photo of Annoying Pete with a rape alarm. And the amount of messages I've had, by the way, on Instagram about your voice.
Yes, my voice was a state, but that is because, as you can imagine, we're now...
6 days. When they listen to this, six days in.
Yeah, when you listen to this, six shows. But at the time of recording, we're five shows in. And as you can imagine, I do an awful lot of talking during the tour. Sam is more a physical entertainer.
What does that mean?
It means that you just jump around, jump on things, off things. Basically, Sam does parkour on stage whilst I talk through it. So my voice has started to go because Sam's just saying, parkour, parkour, while stumping around all over the shop.
But you know what? We have spoken reckon, actually, about, you know, we spoke about Newcastle, Glasgow, actually just those two in the last episode. We haven't spoken about London that has happened since.
The first London gig, Shepherd's Bush.
Manchester, which got wild. We're going to discuss that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to discuss it as much as Pete would like to discuss.
I'm happy to, because I feel like I need to tell my story.
He does. He really, really does. And we did Cardiff. The Welsh are wild. But we've got Birmingham coming up, actually, which is going to be pretty intense. That's 6,
why is it
going to
be? Yeah, because it's the biggest venue, Birmingham, 6,000. It's also the one that's cost us the most.
Has it?
Yes, because the screen in Birmingham, because there's 6,000, has cost us £15,000.
Fuck off.
For one night.
No way, is that
so,
true?
So, yes, it's absolutely true, because I've been through the budget and I'm quite surprised, because I couldn't give a fuck if you can see or not.
How big
certainly
is the
not
screen?
For 15 grand.
Wait, where is the screen? Behind us?
The big screen, yeah, but we've also got two separate screens for people that are further back, because we want to make sure that everyone's involved. We care so much that we are now paying you to come and watch. So although you've spent £30 on a fucking ticket, that's fuck all in comparison to what I've spent on just making sure that you have a good time. So thanks.
Well, where to begin, I suppose? I think it's only right to really begin from the start.
Well, no, because we've done the start. But that is, this is, I'm going to let you just in on a little, before Sam gets carried away with this, I've asked Sam to lead this and tell the stories. So what Sam has started with is in his own way, is Once Upon a Time. Stories are best when you start at the beginning, yes.
We're going to start from the beginning.
So let's start from, I'll give you the cue.
Okay, good. Okay,
let's start from our last update, tour update. So from there, Sam, what happened?
So we left the podcast studio and instantly things happened. Pete looks really disappointed already. We basically jumped on our tour bus, which picked us up from the podcast studio.
It actually didn't. We had to get here to York Way in Houston. So we had to get a cab to our own tour bus.
Because we went to Houston.
Although it's our tour bus, it doesn't stop where we want it to.
Yeah. I think he actually gets a little bit nervous, the poor driver, Jack. I feel like whenever he drops us off at a venue as well, Pete, he always like fucks off really quickly and then refuses to pick us up after the show. We have to get a cab after the show, even though we've paid thousands for the bus. And I feel like it's because he's embarrassed by us. But, you know, he hasn't said that. Those are our words, not his.
No, I mean, he's embarrassed by one of us.
That being Pete. And actually, it leads on quite nicely because we then did a little tour on the bus around London. Yes, that was fun. Pete hated it, but it was really, really enjoyable. I bought my megaphone. Actually, no, I lost my megaphone. And then Beardy, our tour manager, bought a megaphone from his house.
I'm going to own up to something. I hid his megaphone.
Did you actually?
Yes.
You fucker.
I didn't realise that actually that was the worst thing I could have done because his megaphone was shit.
Yeah.
So what happened was Beardy bought an industrial megaphone.
Oh, it was so good.
Which was fucking mental.
You know those batteries, Pete, you'll know this. You're the kind of guy who will know this, like the size of batteries.
Were they triple A's?
What were the big rectangle thick batteries?
The big square ones.
Okay, fine. I thought we might know that. But yeah, they're
called the Duracell Big Squares.
His new industrial megaphone took those big fuckers, and it is so powerful. So it was only right to lean out of the bus window with this megaphone and just announce our arrival to London. And it went incredibly fucking well, didn't it, Pete?
No, and I'll tell you why it didn't go well, because at one point when someone cut up the bus, Sam leant out of the window with a megaphone and started saying, "You prick, that is not the highway code." Now, you think that would be quite bad. It was really bad because the person was driving a convertible. So heard everything. He then started pointing with the megaphone going, "Wanker," at the person from the window whilst I was sat in the window.
Yeah.
So that person then thought it was me. So I'm sure somewhere on Twitter you can go, "Pete Wicks, what a prick," seen him on his bus.
Well, actually, that's not true, because the guy did cut up our bus really badly and he was against the highway.
Yeah, we then found out that bus driver Jack had informed us that actually he was in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
It was actually our fault in the first place. Apologies, but you were a man driving a mini convertible. So you kind of deserve everything.
It was so fun, though. We were driving around Piccadilly Circus, Oxford Square. That's not the one. What the fuck's the square? Leicester Square. Oxford Circus. Pete's got his head in his hands. And we were screaming out the bus going, do you know us? Do you know us? And people were looking at us like, no, we don't. But then there were a few people, Pete, I feel like, who did know us, particularly those two lovely ladies who we bumped into, who then we met late that night.
Yes. Are you leading? Do you want me to carry that story?
Well, really nice segue.
Got you. Okay. No, it was a nice segue for me to actually tell the story. Well done. You're getting better at story prep.
Yeah, story prep. I'm introing. Yeah.
You're like when you have a head chef.
Yeah. And
you
have sous chef.
Yeah. No, you're not even sous chef. You're the vegetable prep. So you're the person that goes in 4 hours before everyone else and cuts the vegetables for everyone to cook later.
I love that.
No, there was a lovely two ladies who we saw, I think it was just off Regent Street, actually. Yeah. They started waving and shouting, but we couldn't hear them, but we couldn't work out what they were saying, but they said, I think they were obviously coming that evening. So Sam was shouting hello to them. When we got to the venue, about an hour later, they had run from Regent Street, when we were on a bus, to Shepherd's Bush, managed to get on the tube, arrived at the hotel at the same time as us, out of breath, very sweaty, but very nice of them. And I went, we saw you on Regent Street, and they were very enthused.
I want to know how they actually got there, though, because they were fucking fast.
So they absolutely pegged it, and then they had to jump on the bus. One of them nearly got trapped in the door, apparently, she made it, but they were seriously out of breath as we got out on the bus, and that dedication, I really enjoyed. Actually, there was also someone who wore a Pete Wicks t-shirt, which is the only time we've seen
it.
With loads of different faces on it. Very good dedication.
I was actually on the Pete Wicks phone, though. I was lower down. I was by the navel. It was basically a Pete Wicks with, like, and it just had a tiny little Sam just by the belly button.
Yes, but yeah, thank you very much for that. But let's go back to being on the bus, because you've missed a prime...
Well, actually, I was going to segue into it quite nicely.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try and do it chronologically.
Well, they were obviously running, and actually we had our own runner on the bus. Because what we do is, before every show, we go around each city that we go to, and we just think it's a nice personal touch if we film some shots around the city, just making sure that, you know, we're sort of like part of the culture. And so, you know, we wanted to go across London Bridge, go past the Houses of Parliament, the London Eye, and we had these amazing ideas. Well, Pete had an amazing idea of this, like, shot that we were going to have the bus driving past, like, one of the bridges and, like, one of the big monuments. And so what we were going to do is we told our videographer, Ted, our videographer, who's been on tour with us, been an absolute legend, and...
he's been well paid.
He's been very well paid. And Pete basically went, right, if you just jump off the bus here, mate, and then run forwards to the next sort of, Pete, what am I looking for? Checkpoint, right? And we're going to drive past that checkpoint, and you're basically just going to film us doing that. The problem is that Pete hadn't accounted for the fact there was no traffic on the roads at all.
Because I obviously come into London quite a lot, and it's always gridlocked. Something was happening which meant the roads were clear. So I just imagined, Ted's quite tall, he's about 6'3". I imagined he could run faster than what he did. Keeping up with a 20-mile-an-hour bus is a struggle, apparently, especially as you're going under bridges that had no pedestrians, so you had to go up the stairs, down the stairs, under every bridge. But I thought he'd just be able to jump back on once he got the shot, but we lost him.
We fully fucking lost him. The poor bloke we have on speakerphone, right? And he's literally going, yeah, I can't see you guys anymore. It's because we're fucking going at like 20 mile an hour. We're already by the Houses of Parliament. He's about 10 minutes drive behind us. And Pete goes, it's fine, just tell him to run. He's holding a camera. And it's the first time our videographer has ever given us lip. And he goes, why don't you fucking run? And Pete went, mate, he'll be able to clock up 12K easily. There's no chance in fucking hell. Which, by the way, Ted, our videographer, inquisitive man, decided to then look up on the internet and went, that's Olympic level running. And he was like, there's no way I can do that.
Well, even at 12 mile an hour, it's the equivalent of doing 10K in 30 minutes.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We turned up to the theatre and there was a massive queue outside and some of our nearest and dearest are there as well, which is a little bit nerve-wracking.
None of mine.
Yeah, no, they were. Your agent was there.
Oh, yeah. Gemma was there.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Oh, and Vicky Patterson was there.
Oh, yeah, loads of mine were there.
Yeah. And it was really nerve-wracking. It was the most nervous that I've ever been before a show, to the point where actually I pissed Pete off where he didn't want to speak to me.
No, because before the show, I try and prep my cards and write bits down and extra bits for different venues. So I like to just get that done. So I normally leave Sam to be babysit by Ted and Charlotte and everyone else. But instead, he came over and spent the entire time telling me how nervous he was and he didn't think he could do it. He thought it was all too much for him. Dead serious, which made me actually worry that he was going to be able to do anything on stage.
Bear in mind, I don't even do much on stage.
It was a struggle. He was nervous about Zara being there. Then Sam invited his entire entourage into the dressing room pre-show whilst I was trying to prepare and write my things. That was his mum, his sister, his girlfriend, Pippa, her friends, all of her family. About 15 people in there who I was then having to say hello to whilst trying to write the little bits that I do before the show. So that was fun. I really enjoyed that.
I could tell when Pete's over something as well because he like goes and hides in the corner.
So I went and hid in the corner.
Yeah. And then someone asked for one of his Guinnesses. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, they're kind of Pete's. And they were like, yeah, but there's like six. And I was like, they're kind of Pete's.
You don't come to my dressing room and take my drink. If you're going to come to the dressing room, bring your own.
It was very... It's
a BYOB affair.
It was touching.
In the dressing rooms. It's BYOB, all right? This is not... We don't put it on for you, all right? It's bring your own.
It was very, very nerve-wracking. I don't think I've ever been more nervous before, like, any sort of show I've ever done, to be fair. I don't know why I was so nervous, but I really was. And I was really hoping to latch on to Pete and sort of, like, you know, hope that he would sort of, like, instill me with a little bit of confidence. He just told me to fuck off.
Because it's not my job to instill you with confidence, because I'm busy instilling myself with confidence. Because I worry that the show's shit every night and have done for 4 months. Whereas the turning up bit for you, I think you can manage. But that night, just the turning up was a struggle.
Yeah, really. Do you know what I noticed as well? I hadn't had a poo that evening. I hadn't had a nervous poo. And I actually think that contributes to it because I had a stomachache.
So next up, what happened...
But genuinely, I think that was what it was.
Sam's had a stomachache for the entire fucking week that we were on tour, if I'm honest with you. He's constantly just going, oh, I just don't feel... I've got a dicky tummy.
Yeah. Enough about my bodily functions. Smashed it! We fucking smashed it out of the park!
For the first London gig, it was good. They were a different crowd, London. They weren't as wild as what we have up north, and I think that's because they're so used to having lots of different shows, so in comparison, ours wasn't as impressive.
It was a bit give and take, you know. You've got to give some take a bit, you know. It's got to be an entertainment show, and we entertained.
Parkour.
Yeah, we fucking did bits. We did stuff. And it was great. But look, the show was amazing. There was also a massive crowd outside afterwards. And we were like Justin Bieber. We were like Bieber.
Sam was like Justin Bieber. I was like Justin Bieber's security. But yeah, there was a big crowd waiting outside for Samuel. And
that's such a fucking lie. Everyone was going, Pete!
Because Sam had left me again and already gone inside and I didn't realise. So I was left out there for an extra 15 minutes because I was waiting for him, but he just fucked off and left me. So I just mopped up the desserts of people that were left there.
So fun, though. It was fun.
But then, anyway, the most important part for that night for me was the after party.
Now, this is the bit I didn't go on, so unfortunately...
What a shocker.
I don't have...
What a shocker.
Well, we went to a strip club. Well, you went to a strip club.
Oh, Sam's so disgusted because he goes once a year with me.
been a couple of times.
And this wasn't his one time. I think in the end, I mean, you've got down here 20, but actually I think it was a bit more than that. I think there was about 30 of us went to in different fractions, but my management went, a little bit of Sam's management went, all of the guys that work on the podcast went, including Paul and Edie who came along. Saffron brought her boyfriend. Who else was there?
Georgia from Insani.
my PR went.
TV Ted
brought his girlfriend along.
So I got told this, right? And that you were facing this squad, but apparently Pete was rolling around in string, not actually rolling, but like going to different groups in Stringfellas, giving them sort of like the history of the building. Apparently Pete was going to different groups being like, so if you didn't know, this was founded in 1805. And then it's the only strip club to have a wine cellar underneath, actually, which is really nice. It's a great, great restaurant. And this is a bit, though, that I couldn't believe when I got told this. Apparently, Pete was going around. You're going to have to confirm or deny this. Apparently, you can use the Stringfellas' money in Selfridges.
Yes, legal tender in
Selfridges.
Yeah. So I went to show someone some tender, £25 worth. And what they did was pocket it.
So what does that get him at Selfridges?
£25 worth of whatever.
Fuck, so it's like real money in there.
That's what legal tender is.
How does that work?
I don't know the answer to that.
You're so blasé about that. I feel like that's so cool.
It's just it's like having a voucher, isn't it? It's like having a voucher. Anyway, so that was good. But Stringfellas was good. But there was about 30, and they were all on different tables. And so I did walk around. In terms of shots,
kamikazes, I hear.
Kamikazes were on the menu. 120 shots of kamikaze we did across the people there. So that's an average of like four each. So it was, you know, it was interesting. There was food flying about. It was an expensive night. So that will lead us on to what Charlotte has called the wholesome and the feral in the tour bus.
Oh, now, yeah.
Sam, would you like to lead that?
Well, basically, producer Charlotte is, if you didn't know, she's sort of our health queen. She is in bed early, up early at the gym, running or swimming sometimes. She is very, very healthy with what she eats. She's always got a good posture on her when she's writing on her laptop. But she basically is in an otherwise barren, sort of quite disgusting hellscape that is the tour bus and the people on it. She's like the one ray of light. Of health light that just sits there on 9-hour journeys, pretending to type on the computer because she doesn't want to get in touch. She doesn't want to chat about what we're talking about. And she's now come up with factions. Basically, you've got the Charlotte faction, which is the, what have you called it? The wholesome faction. And then the feral faction. Now, as you can tell, Team Charlotte, she's team captain, is the head of the wholesome faction, and Pete is head of the feral faction. And I think it's safe to say Pete has more followers on that bus. I will flit between Charlotte and Pete. I'm sort of closest to Charlotte,
yeah,
I think,
Sam,
than anyone else.
Sam sits on the fence with it. I mean, he sits on the fence so much he's got splinters up his ass because he's between the two most of the time. In fact, the whole tour, he's pretty much been with Team Wholesome. However, following on from the after party at Stringfellas on the Friday night, which went so well for everyone involved, there was big stories that come out of it. Beardy had a lovely time. TV Ted had a lovely time. He had such a lovely time that he spent the entire day, the next day, throwing up on the tour bus.
Which you're only allowed to
toilet,
wee in as well.
Which you're only allowed to piss in. So because of that, Sam thought, well, I want to be part of this. Understandably, because when you see someone in that state, you think that must have been a good night.
Yeah, I got really big FOMO.
Beardy was silent for the whole day and spent most of it just staring at his Tamagotchi because I think he was struggling to speak. So then what happened is I then felt a little bit bad because Sam actually had a go at me in the day about going out and all the rest of it. So I cancelled the night out that I'd planned in Manchester for everyone. I'd arranged for a car to pick us all up. I'd booked a table in a club. I'd fucking done everything for everyone to come out. Charlotte had seen the state of everyone. And to be fair, Charlotte was there the night before, Team Wholesome. I don't know why she's just given herself this I'm so wholesome thing. Because she was there till fucking 4 a.m. the night before as well.
Four in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know why you're shaking.
Two in the morning. Still quite late.
Well, I don't know because she was fucking loving life. She was on the kamikazes. I know she had a little bit of food just to settle her stomach a bit, but she was banging through the kamikazes herself. So Team Wholesome isn't quite as wholesome. Really, it's Team Feral who occasionally have a wholesome day. All right? I don't know why we're splitting this out as if she doesn't fucking do it. Because
it's Team Feral who occasionally feel guilty.
But next day she decided midway through. So Sam had told me, I'm going out, and then she'd gone, oh, I don't think I'm going to go out tonight. So I thought, okay, Ted had been throwing up all day. Beardy had struggled. I mean, Beardy became mute on the Saturday.
Beardy being tour manager, if you're only just joining us.
So he'd struggled. So I cancelled it all because I thought, well, fuck him then. So I'd arranged just to go out with my friend. And I thought, fuck it, I'll leave him. Fuck him. We then get to the venue and it was a quiet dressing room in comparison.
It was a quiet dressing room, actually.
And people were feeling a bit rough and whatever else. And, yeah. You know, it was a quiet dressing room. We then get midway through the show to half time, as I like to call it. And Sam had decided, fuck it, I want to go out. So then I had to rearrange everything for everyone to go out. But I said to Sam, well, fine, now that you've fucked me about on this, you can pay for tonight. Yeah, fine, I'll pay for tonight. If you got last night, I'll pay for tonight, that's fine.
I wasn't saying it like that. I said it in good faith. I was like, fair enough, mate, I'll take it down.
Fine.
It'll be on me.
I'll take it, yeah. I know you took 30 people out last night, but I'll take the five of us out.
Yeah, and I was really happy to do so.
He was really happy to do so.
Do you know what it is, actually?
And I'll tell you why he was really happy to do so.
Why?
Because I don't believe he had any intention of fucking paying whatsoever. That's why he was happy to do so. Because lo and behold, something happened again. Because it's happened before. Sam, what happened?
We basically went to the nightclub in question, had a fucking good night. As it came time to pay, I didn't have my wallet on me. No, because I'm just used to Apple paying for everything. So I've just tapped, tappity tip tap. And so and the worst thing is, we were with tour manager Luke, who, by the way, is a fucking hero. He was on two nights on the bounce and was hammered second night in a row.
And As was Ted.
And we're sat on these fucking seats in this nightclub, and the bill comes, and I go, don't worry, mate, I've got this. And he goes, fuck, it's a big bill, mate. And I was like, don't worry, mate, look, I've got this, it's absolutely fine. And I'm thinking, look, I'm quite cool at the moment. I'm like, this is pretty awesome. And so I get my phone out and I just double tap on the side. Comes up, meep. And I literally turn away because I'm just so used to it just going through that I literally just went turn away and just started talking to someone on my left. And all I hear is, eh. And I turn round and Luke, the tour manager, is pointing in my face going, ha! You fucking bell end! The entire fucking club almost turns round. She goes, I'm so sorry it's been rejected. And I, no, but I just want to let it be known before I tell you what I then did, is that anything above a certain amount
£1,000
on Apple Pay, you can't tippity tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, so and, anything above that. But let me tell you another thing, is that Sam knows that.
No, I don't.
So when Sam was going through the menu and ordering £1,700 worth of booze, I'm not entirely sure what he expected to happen. At that point, the bill was £1,700. All right? So then it doesn't work. What happens then, Sam?
Well, then you just got to turn round to the person you know who can foot the bill. So I literally turned round. Pete's just having a good time on my left. I just tapped him on the shoulder and went, Pete. He went, what? I went, it didn't go through. Have you got your wallet?
Funny enough, I already had my wallet in hand. So then I go, fine, I'll get that. So then what happens is Sam and Beardy decide, fuck it, we might as well order another bottle of tequila.
We've got champagne as well, motherfuckers.
Then ordered a champagne show to the table, the
sparklers
lot.
Sparklers and everything.
So that added to the fucking bill. Great, happy times for me.
Do you know what happened? Because there was a group of lads on a table next to us, and they had just had loads of sparklers come down, and everyone's going, oh, I've gone, oi, oi, oi. And so me and Beardy were on our table going, fuck, these bastards want a war? We'll give them a war with Pete's card. So we literally went to the bartender and, hey, we'll get a whole load of bottles of champagne on our table, loads of sparklers, Pete. She was like, don't worry, it's already done. And so they come round and Pete's face when we're having a bottle cock-off with a table full of footballers.
I spent the night doing that, yeah.
So good. We had the best night ever. So really quickly, actually, on that night, then there was a scuffle near our table. And one of my favourite moments in the entire tour is I'm sat next to tour manager Luke, a.k.a. Beardy. He's fucked for his second night in a row. And he, to be fair on him, he's just looking around going, I just can't believe this is happening. He was so in shock that he had, like...
Can I just tell you why Beardy went? Or what his excuse to
to look after
to
us.
Team Wholesome was because he needed to keep an eye on the talent. The talent being us.
He's hammered at this point because we keep, it's so funny, just we were just giving him shots after shots after shots and then watching him try and look after us. It was fucking hilarious.
Before Sam gets onto his scuffle, I also want to point out that during the champagne show that Sam had ordered to my card, Sam decided he would take his top off.
Oh, yeah!
And just wear a vest. whilst dancing around on the thing. But you'll never guess, if you have seen the tour, what song the Champagne Show came out to.
Yeah.
Fucking Sweet Caroline.
Mate, we went fucking for it.
Even I went a little bit wild then, because we I forgot for a minute it. How much it was costing.
T-shirt over the head. Come on! And then I got told to put it back on. They put it on backwards. But there was a scuffle on the table, and I turned around to tour manager Luke. I went, mate, you're going to have to deal with that. And he panicked, and he literally went, I don't know what to do. I went, well, you've got to do something. And so he was so pissed at this point. He leant forward, stretched his arm out, and went, stop it! Stop it now! And the girls were so shocked because he spoke like such an adult, and he literally just completely stopped the scuffle they were having. The entire nightclub basically saw the whole thing and looked at him with a newfound level of respect. It was the best thing I've ever seen in my life from Beardy. So Beardy, if you're listening to this, well done, mate. You really kept it going there. I love that night out. It was fucking sick. Had a really good time. And then I left.
Well, yeah, Sam left, I don't know, maybe an hour before the rest of us.
It was then, still like 2:30 in the morning.
Then me, Beardy and Ted left afterwards, but I told Sam, as I always do, Daddy Pete came into play, please let me know when you get home. Sam didn't do that. So I got back to the hotel and then was trying to call Sam. His phone was off, couldn't work out where he was. I actually asked security at the hotel, said, have you seen this man, and showed them a picture? They said no. I didn't sleep for 3 hours. Because I was so worried that Sam hadn't got home on his own. Genuinely, was non-stop calling him, and the phone was just off, and I thought, I don't know what to do. I tried to go to reception to ask what room he was in. They wouldn't tell me.
Oh my God.
Because I was going to go and knock just to make sure he got home safe. And then next day, woke up to a message saying, sorry, mate, passed out. I'd literally been asleep for about an hour and then had to get back on the fucking back on the fucking bus to Cardiff.
How sweet is that, though, Pete, trying to figure out where I was? Have you seen this man?
Well, because it worries me sometimes when you're on your own. Anyway.
Great night. Sick night. One for the memories, that, though. One
of
these.
It was. And it was a good end to what was an interesting performance in Manchester.
Oh, we're going to talk about it?
I think it needs to be addressed. I think it's time.
Yeah,
I think it's time to tell my story. Manchester was a great show. However, there were elements of Manchester that were not okay.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry, I shouldn't actually laugh because it's not okay.
There is a part to the show where Sam goes into the audience and has just a thoroughly good time. When we were discussing this, I said, I don't want to go into the audience. I'll stay on the stage and I will just do the stagey bit. There's a reason why I don't like to go into the audience, and it was highlighted in Manchester when the stage was stormed. It was stormed by people. 1, 2, 3 women got up. Suddenly there were how many?
I think there were about 50 on stage at one point. That's what I could see from my bird's eye view of Pete just becoming sort of like an ant swarmed over like scarab beetles.
There was a lot of grabbing. There was a lot of grabbing. I think you can probably imagine where that was. And listen, I love a good time. However, the grabbing was a lot, to the point where we've had emails from people from the night with footage just in case we want to use it in any future legal battles, I imagine. There was an awful lot of grabbing. I was left. We weren't expecting the stage to be stormed, because what happens when Sam goes out into the crowd? Everyone just likes to pat him on the head like a puppy. However, they don't pat my head. There was grabbing. There was a lot of grabbing. We obviously weren't prepared for this grabbing. Neither were the security staff in Manchester, who were actually very good. But we didn't expect the stage to be stormed. I had a hero.
Was it me?
Came out of nowhere. Wasn't expecting it. And that hero was Ben. Ben the carpenter.
Oh yeah, Benny makes the sets.
Ben came and saved me on stage whilst there was all sorts of stuff going on, because it had got a bit wild on stage, hadn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
Sam was just somewhere in the venue. I could hear him because he stayed his microphone just shouting my name.
Yeah.
Whilst I was being pulled down and fucking everything else, I could just hear, Pete! 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 But he did nothing.
No, I was just trying to
not
get
a fucking thing.
But like, you know when you can see something, you're so far away, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, he's so far away. However, when Ben found me and reached through, it was like Moses parting the sea. He came through and grabbed me. What he'd done previous to that to get us off the stage was he'd pulled down half of the set so that we could get through the back. Sam, although he says he couldn't get to me, had already parkour jumped over his fucking chair and ran through the back of the set straight past straight past me being fucking trampled. It was like the scene from Lion King when Mufasa gets trampled. It was a little bit like that. Sam had just gone round the canyon.
Each for his own at that point, to be honest with you.
Ben, bless him, he was like the Kevin Costner to my Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard, fucking dragged me out, and it was a lot.
Once we came off stage, I'm jumping around being like, that was one of the best shows you've ever done.
So thank you all. We appreciate all your nice
best stuff. Show ever, though, by the way. Manny was fucking out of this world without the penis grabbing, but like, it was really, really good.
We enjoyed it anyway.
It was, look guys, we don't condone groping at all. Having said that, we love the excitement.
Yeah,
love the excitement. The show was amazing. Drop dead gorgeous.
No,
we
it
loved
was it dropped dead gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't know, we went a bit fruity there.
Manchester was drop dead gorgeous.
Manchester was fucking great. And the next bit I was gonna say was on the way back from Cardiff was where, look, it had really taken its toll on everybody. And Pete in particular. Pete has raged at this point for 5 days straight. He's gone to town.
Funny enough, actually, no, that's not true. Because the first part of, as I mentioned last week, the first part of the tour, I was drinking considerably less than what I normally do.
Which is terrifying.
And I was really, really ill. So actually, what I thought I'd do for London, Manchester and Cardiff was I would go back to my normal life and drink quite a lot. And I've felt great ever since. So actually, going cold turkey on a tour bus for the first part of the thing where I was only having maybe 6 or 7 pints of Guinness tonight was actually a really bad idea because it was making me ill. I actually got back to myself at the weekend and felt great.
So on the way back, Pete basically has burnt the candle.
I just lost my voice. I was tired. I was very
tired. So what Pete liked doing, it's funny because when you're on the tour bus, you kind of, for the first couple of days, you're like, oh, I can't go and use the fucking bunk beds. Like, I can't be that guy. Like, we're not those guys. By the end of it, I've never seen more people be like, this is fucking amazing. Pete loved the bunk beds by the end of it. And there was one moment that really stood out to me that let me know the tour, we need a break, was when Pete's having a snooze. And Beardy, Luke, the tour manager, comes upstairs and goes, my Tamagotchi's dead, guys. Should we have a funeral for it? And Pete, the night before, had said, look, mate, I think we should all gather around as a team and give it a burial.
Well, and I'll tell you why I said that, because I felt responsible, because obviously Beardy had been out for 2 days straight and his girlfriend had given that Tamagotchi to look after for the tour. And I felt like because he'd come out with us and was obviously not in a pretty good state, so he'd actually abused and neglected the Tamagotchi, Tammy, as we like to call him or her, whatever it is.
Well, I think it died of old age, though. I don't too bad.
Well, we were only 6 days into the tour, and I'm pretty sure when I was a child, Tamagotchis, you could keep them going for a couple of weeks.
He comes upstairs, right? And I'm next door, so I can hear all of it. He comes upstairs, he goes, Pete, you know that burial you wanted to give it? He goes, we're just about to stop at a service station. Pete went, oh, just fucking grow up, mate. It's a Tamagotchi. And the night before, he'd been giving it so much. Like, yeah, mate, look, we're all going to gather around as a team. We're going to bury it and all that shit. And then literally, when it comes to, like, the day after and it's just a bit cold, everyone's tired, it's, like, early in the morning, fucking grow up, Luke. It's a fucking Tamagotchi. Send me so bad. The real Pete has arrived.
Well, I'd thought it through and I just thought, nah, it's pathetic. but also, this was literally just 10 minutes after I had been woken with Beardy's rape alarm from Sam. So actually, I would have been quite up for the funeral had it not been for the fact that I just wanted to get the fuck off the bus at that point. So the longer we spent together, I think I may have killed someone. But on the plus side, after Cardiff, we had a few days off.
Yeah, and that's why we're so fresh now. We're feeling great.
Ready for Birmingham and London, Plymouth and Dublin, which are our next four.
Yeah,
Thanks.
And that's a lot of travelling. Dublin, ho-ho, baby.
Dublin, I'm really excited
about. Spank your mama.
Because Dublin, I've got fucking 2 days off after, and I'm staying in Dublin, so I'm excited about that. Sam is supposed to be staying, but we shall see. Beardy's staying.
Oh, God.
So is Video Ed.
Video Ed is staying. It's been fucking amazing so far. Literally, it has been. We actually put up a little soppy post afterwards just because we're halfway through and we just feel like it's gone really, really well.
We did. I don't know if you saw that really cool picture that we asked the entire audience to do.
That was fucking brilliant, by the way. Pete so politely went, guys, I hope you don't mind, but would you mind just putting all your phone lights up? We're going to drop the lighting and just take a quick photo. And they all did it. It was so nice.
But we'll we'll be doing the same in Birmingham on a bigger scale.
Oh, yeah. For fucking goddamn sure. We're coming in hot.
6,000 in Birmingham. Well, that's it then. That's the fucking tour update.
What a fuck. Oh, also, I just want to say from mine and I think all the team's point of view, I think it is worth just noting that Pete's written this entire fucking thing and it's been fucking well received. Like, I'm being genuine here. Honestly, has written something that, from what we've experienced, everyone's absolutely loved. I go on there, and I'm not joking, Pete is right, I go on and do fuck all. I just piss around, and all of that is because Pete has written such an amazing show. So massive, massive congrats to Pete. And that is on a very serious level. Fucking well done, mate. And you're getting quite a lot of props as well on some of the instances. People are starting to be like, I can't believe Pete wrote all of that. And he did. He's had no help whatsoever on that. I think it just needs to be said. But anyway, that's been the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can catch us on the socials and shit. YouTube, Snappy C, TikTok, Instagram, at Staying Relevant, all that shit. And oh, I sound like Pete there and all that shit. And it's been a pleasure. We're going to see you next week, baby, after even more live shows and even more stories. Oh, also keep reviewing. We love the reviews.
Oh, seen some reviews, actually. Yeah. There's been some good ones. I even looked at them. Yeah, nice. Staying Relevant was an Insanity Studios production.